Let's turn in our Bible to Psalm 91 tonight. And let us read the entire Psalm of 16 verses. Psalm 91, beginning at verse 1. The psalmist said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my salvation." Let us pray. Our Father, how good and how gracious and how merciful thou art unto us, that thou would give us thy word as a lamp unto our feet and light unto our pathway day by day. What mercy and grace that thou dost condescend to speak to our hearts in such a word as thou hast given us for tonight, to let us know that underneath of thine everlasting arms, and that thine arms are around us, thou dost protect us and watch over us, and we are safe with thee. We praise thy name for thy watchful care, thy long-suffering and patience with us, and that thou dost desire to see our face and to hear our voice and to commune with us from above the mercy seat. We are made to praise thee, our Father, that thou dost allow us to come into thy presence through that new and living way which the Lord Jesus has opened for us, and that's through his blood and his flesh, that new and living way whereby we can come to thee. Thy condescension to dwell with us overwhelms us, and that thou dost continue to put up with us day by day. O Lord, this is grounds for praise and thanksgiving, and we rejoice in this tonight. We thank you for the day, for thy dealings with our heart. We thank you for being in our midst. We thank you for bringing us back together tonight, and we do pray that thy word will find a lodging place in our hearts, that thou wilt cleanse us from that evil sin of unbelief, and let us know that thou art the God who can be trusted, the Almighty God, the all-nourishing God. And thou art the God of thy people. So uphold us and keep us, and speak to us by thy Spirit, and may Christ be gloried glorified and honored in our midst. For it is in His precious name that we pray. Amen. As we come to this precious psalm tonight to look at it for a while, it is a psalm that has meant much to my heart over the years. It would have to be numbered among one of our favorites. For it has been pleading ground for us time and time again. The promises of this psalm have been written upon our heart. Not ours only, but the hearts of the people of God. For in this psalm, we find the protection of God for His own. And whether it be in time of trouble, whether it be in time of heartache or sorrow or joy, whatever it may be, we can understand that God is with us and that He comforts us. And not only for time, but for eternity. And there is one thing I would like you to keep in mind as we go through the psalm tonight, and it is this. That the people of God are looked upon in this psalm as being guests of the living God. They have been invited to come and dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And not only for time, but for eternity. Because what we find in this psalm is a word to our hearts that our God, the living God who has bought us with the price of His own precious blood, is a God who will be with us in life, in death, in resurrection, and throughout eternity. So think of it tonight as being a psalm whereby the people of God are in the house of God, and there they are guests, not only as children and members of the family, but they are guests of God, and they are protected. There they are refreshed, and there they are comforted by Him. And as I said, not only for time, but for eternity. The psalm starts off with these words, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." I want you to notice, first of all, that he uses the word dwelleth. We are not infrequent guests at this place. This is not a place where we come every now and then. But it is a place where the believing people of God can dwell. It is a place of intimate and unrestrained communion with the living God. Here is a place where the believing people of God can make everything known unto Him in whose house they dwell. As they dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and as they abide under the shadow of the Almighty, there they can tell all of their heart, pour out all of their needs. They can declare all of their thoughts and all of their feelings. They do not have to hold back their doubts and anxieties and sorrows and joys, but there they can tell them freely to the one in whose house they dwell, in that secret place for they dwell in the secret place of the Most High. They are with a perfect friend, a perfect comforter. We are with our Father. We are with our Father. We are with our Heavenly Father. And we can speak our hearts. But what I like about this dwelling place and this secret place of the Most High, that it is not a one-way street. It is not us continually talking to Him, but it is one who lets us lean upon His bosom, even as John leaned upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus. And He speaks to our hearts. Now to the man who's never been in this secret place, the man who has never confided in the Lord, he wonders how in the world that God can speak to His children in that place. But He does. For He reminds us when we come there that He is the Almighty God. For you see, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that word Almighty in the Hebrew means the all-nourishing God or the breasted one. And as we lean upon His breast and under the shadow of the Almighty, there we are able to pour our desires and our hearts to Him. And He speaks to our hearts by showing us His faithfulness, His long-suffering, His mercy with us. He shows us His compassion and His love. He permits us to be very, very intimate with Him. For He holds nothing back that would satisfy or ravish the heart of His child. I know it's been so with me. He meets with us in this secret place. He communes with us from above the mercy seat. And there, as our heart goes out to Him, His heart goes out to us. And He lets us dwell there. The world knows nothing about this secret place, because a natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. When a man of the world gets alone by himself, he's either afraid, or his thoughts go out to the world, or his sin, or the pleasures of the world. Whereas the children of God, when they are alone with the living God, they're not afraid. They dwell in the secret place. In the Song of Solomon, these words are given to us that describe this place. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14, the bridegroom speaks to the bride and says, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. In the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely or beautiful. Now that amazes me, always has and always will. That He delights to see our face and to hear our voice, and He delights for us to come into His presence because He counts us beautiful in Himself. He sees us as being His. Then the bride speaks and says in verse 15, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoiled the grapes, for our vines have tender grapes. In that secret place of the Most High, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, there we will confess to our lover the most intimate things of our hearts, and especially our sins, the things that grieve us, the things that grieve Him, the things that have separated us. And there we pour out our hearts to Him, for we have come to Him in the secret places of the stairs. We know that way to get to His presence, and that's through the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to Him in the name of the Lord Jesus." And there, as we rest in His presence, and there, as we call upon His name, we love what He loves, and we hate what He hates. We tell Him that. We tell Him that we hate sin. We tell Him that we hate our ways. We tell Him that we hate how much we have sinned against Him, and how much we have disregarded His ways and His love. He hears our voice as we cry to be freed from evil. He hears our voice as we tell Him how we hate sin and we hate our ways. He hears our voice as we cry after holiness, to be conformed to His image and to His likeness. And there in the secret place, He reveals the secrets of Himself unto us. And you know what they are? He reveals unto us His love. He reveals unto us His faithfulness. He reveals unto us His grace and His mercy. And our hearts go after Him and praise Him and thank Him. I wish we would live there all the time. I really do. I wish we lived there all the time. I would that our heart was taken up with Him all the time. But we have access to that secret place through His blood, through His righteousness. And there He makes known unto us the secret of Himself and all of His ways. And this is what the rest of the psalm is all about. It's there in the secret place of the Most High, as we rest in His arms, or that word Almighty, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, as we rest upon His bosom, drawing all things from Him, in His presence, He tells us what He has done and what He will do for us. The psalmist tells us in verse 2 one of the things that he was taught in the secret place of the Most High. Look at what he said. He had been there. And there he had learned that the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. There we learn the four names of our God. There's more names than that, but we learn about four of them that is given here. In verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We come to reverence Him and commune with Him who is the Most High God. He's high and lifted up. And we worship Him and praise Him in the beauty of holiness. We come to know Him and rest in Him as the Almighty God, the One from whom we draw all of our strength, the One from whom we draw all that we need. Because the word Almighty means the breasted one or the all-nourishing one. And as we come and wait in His presence, He gives unto us all that our hearts needs to rest and quietly adore Him. And then in verse 2, He is revealed unto us as Jehovah. The word Lord there is in caps, which means that He is speaking to us as the Redeemer, as the One who has redeemed our soul, as Jehovah the Lord, and we rejoice in Him because He has redeemed us and has made us His very own. And then in the latter part of that verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. And the word God there in the Hebrew is E-L-L. And the word God there means the all-powerful one. Now, I want you to notice how that expression fits into the rest of the psalm. We reverently adore Him as the Most High God as He sits upon the throne. And we worship Him in the beauty of holiness. We lean upon His breast as the Almighty One. We praise Him because He is the Lord, Jehovah, our Redeemer. And He is God, the all-powerful One who is going to undertake for us in everything that we do. Now, there's one other thing in verse 2 that is most gracious, and it is this. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Jehovah God is our refuge. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. That word refuge means He is the One who shelters us. Now, I'm speaking a strange language to some of you. I understand that. Only those who've had access by the grace of God and the secret place knows what I'm talking about. Because, you see, when we run to the Lord, as He tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and we bring all thoughts captive and bring them to Christ, we run to the only One that can help our souls. I can't run to you. You know, I love every one of you. And I appreciate every one of you. I don't have many bosom friends. I have very few people that I could really unbosom my heart to. And I can't do this very often. I can't run to you with all of my cares and my problems. I can't run to you with my sins. I can't run to you with all that besets me on every hand. I can't run to you and pour out my heart to you and tell you of my stupidity, of my laziness, of my lack of conformity to Christ. I can't tell you about my sins. I can't tell you anything that goes on in my heart. But the psalmist said, I will say of the Lord that He is my refuge. He is my shelter. It is to Him that I run for protection. I can't call upon you to help me. But I can call upon Him. I just want you to understand this. I'm trying to just speak out of my heart tonight. I want you to understand what He's talking about here. I want you to see the picture. I can't run to you for every penny of money that we need, or I need. Can I? You might be willing to write every penny that you have or own if I would ask you for it, if I was in need. But I can't run to you. I can run to Him. I can't run to you when I'm sick in body and sick in soul and sick in mind. I can run to Him. When I feel that I'm gone, literally, physically, or mentally, or spiritually gone, I can't run to you, but I can run to Him. He is my shelter. He is my refuge. He is the one who protects. He protects me. He is the one that gives me safety. I can feel safe with Him. And if you've been betrayed as much as I have in my lifetime, you get kind of, well, who can I trust? And who can I pour out my heart to? Who is going to betray me next time if I've poured out my heart? But He don't tell you the secrets that I tell Him. And He doesn't tell me the secrets that you tell Him. You know why? He hides it all away in His heart, and He knows all about us, and He desires for us to run to Him. Because He is our protection. He is our security. He's the one who's going to undertake for us. He is the one who's going to preserve us. And to assure us. I got to thinking this afternoon that I missed a great opportunity this morning when I was at Psalm 107 to go a little further into that psalm and show you the cry of faith. I would I had, but I didn't. In Psalms 107, verse 27, it talks about those that reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man or at their wits' end. And when a man is at his wits' end, he has nowhere to turn but unto the living God. And that's exactly what he did. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and that cry is a cry of faith. That is a cry of faith. And that's what faith does. It goes out of itself and it goes to the Lord. Does He answer that cry? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and what happens? And He bringeth them out of their distresses. And then what does He do? He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still, and the soul is quieted before Him. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So He bringeth them into their desired haven. And when He soothes us, and He tells us that He loves us, and He tells us that He understands us, and He tells us that He has forgiven us, that's all we want. $1 million couldn't have satisfied at that moment anything like the voice of the Son of God speaking to our soul, saying, all is well. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. And what am I going to do? In Him I will trust. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. I can't trust my flesh. I can't trust man. But I can trust him. You would desire to help. Oh, you would do the best that you could. But you could not satisfy the heart like he can. The psalmist continues in verse 3 and says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I want you to notice what he says. Surely he shall deliver thee. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he that abides under the shadow of the Almighty, he who makes Jehovah the Redeemer his refuge and his fortress, he who trusts in the powerful God, surely that God shall deliver him from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What does he say in Isaiah 54:17? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. No plot that is made against us shall succeed as long as his eye is upon us. And he said he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He said that he shall deliver us from those who would cunningly devise our downfall and plan for our downfall. How many times have we pled the very words that David pled when he was fleeing from his son Absalom, and he heard that his wise counselor had gone with David. And he asked God to confuse the counsel of this man. And any other time I could pronounce the name, but right now I can't. He asked him, he said, Lord, confuse the counsel of this man. I know where it's at, and I should go get it so I could give it to you. It always comes to my heart when I feel that men and women are plotting against us. It's Ahithophel. He pled, he said, Lord, confuse the counsel of Ahithophel. I never will forget one Saturday morning at 10 o'clock in my life. It was a long time ago. And I knew that there was a plot against me. And my cry went up, Lord, confuse the counsel of Ahithophel. Confuse their counsel. Don't let them bring it to pass. And we are like little foolish birds. We would fall into it. And we could be overtaken. But he says that he shall deliver us from the snare of the fowler. In other words, he's not going to let us get caught like a little bird in the trap that is set for him. The Lord delivereth out of all of them. And many a time they're set for our downfall. And this is the noisome pestilence. Sometimes it's error or heresy or false doctrine that would be fatal to us. And on the surface it looks good. God will not let us fall under it. He will deliver us from the snare of the fowler. And you know what keeps our heart going? Knowing that the Lord preserveth the simple and that He's going to take care of us. You know, there's one thing He won't do. He won't put us to shame. He will always deliver. He always does. And then verse 4, the psalmist said, he shall cover me with his feathers, And under his wings I shall trust, his truth shall be my shield and my buckler. Does the Lord liken himself to a mother hen? And he would ask us to nestle down underneath the feathers? Well, the Lord Jesus said when he looked out over Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather her brood." If that's not bringing us under his feathers, I don't know what is. He lets us nestle down there and holds us with his divine tenderness and lets us know that underneath are his everlasting arms. He covers us with his wings. Under his wings we shall trust. Under his wings shall we rest. And the truth shall be our shield and our buckler. And you know, if we know the truth shall make us free. And if the Son therefore shall make us free, we shall be free indeed. You know, if God has taught us the truth of Himself, that He is the holy and righteous God that sits upon the throne, we'd bow down before Him. We acknowledge this. This truth will keep us. If we understand that God is sovereign and worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, this truth shall hold us. If we understand that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose, this truth will hold us. If we understand while all around us is given away, that we are still to live a holy and a righteous life, this truth will hold us. We understand that God has made Jesus Christ the only mediator between God and men. This truth will hold us. I get a copy of the Christian Booksellers magazine every month. I'll have to get it to see what new books are coming out. And I've noticed in the last 5 or 10 years something that is most appalling. 10 years ago, you would never see an advertisement in that magazine advertising the Catholic press or Catholic books. And now they're practically on every other page. Do you know? Did you know that the religious world has accepted Catholicism as being Christianity today? And this has subtly come in with everything else. Did you know that they're speaking about being born again? And they're speaking about that union and communion with Christ. But don't be fooled. They have never turned away from Mariology and worshiping Mary. They have never turned away from the infallibility of the Pope. They have never turned away from praying to saints as a mediator other than Christ. They've never turned away. And I say this because it struck me this past week as never before when I got my copy of that magazine and I thumbed through it and I saw how many books. And they're talking and they're putting out books by the thousands that appeal to the Protestants and to the evangelicals. And as a Catholic priest that I heard on the radio many a time, writing out of New Orleans. And, oh, I don't listen to him long, but just enough that he's got that language that'll fool you. But I heard him when the Pope was in New Orleans a year ago, and the Pope was giving the Mass. that he explained what the Mass was. Rome's never changed. He said that that man was turning those wafers into the body of Christ and that wine into the blood of Christ. It never changed. Why am I telling you all of this? To me, it hit me this past week as never before, this subtlety. And God keep us from error. The truth shall keep us from error. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that's all. I use that as an illustration that the truth shall be our shield and our buckler. I never will forget reading Spurgeon in one place. He was listening to another man preach. And it was all free will. And it seemed like God spoke to his soul and said, "My child, is that the way I saved you?" And he answered in his soul and said, "No, it was by sovereign grace and sovereign grace alone that you saved my soul." He said, "Well, then go and preach it." He would not have it. The shield, the truth is our shield and our buckler. And brother, we can rest right there. We do not owe this world one cockeyed thing in that we believe in a sovereign God. That we believe in divine election. We believe in divine providence. We believe in the power of the blood of Christ that we've spoken of the last three Sunday evenings. And we believe that there's only one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. We believe that God is on the throne. We believe that men, when they're saved, are made holy and will walk in a holy and a righteous way. We believe that there's no such thing as a carnal Christian. A man can live in sin and say that he's saved. You see, this truth is a shield and a buckler. And wherever we go, we hold it up. And it's there. We don't have to flinch from it or what man may say or what they would do to us. He that hides himself in the secret place of the Most High doesn't have to be afraid of what the world may do, that noisome pestilence that may come. Instead of John Knox, Bloody Mary sent him word that "I'm coming with 10,000 soldiers to get you." And he sent a word back and he says, "I fear nothing but sin." And that should be us. We fear nothing but sin. That which would separate us from God. Why? We have the truth. God has given us the truth. We ought to walk in it. We should praise God for it. We have nothing to hold our head in shame about. God has taught us the way of grace and the way of mercy. We believe God hears and answers prayer. We believe God is going to supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Has He brought us to this hour? Will He cast us off now? Will He not do for us in the future what He's done for us in the past? Has He forgiven us one time, 10,000 times, and will not He do it again? Has He held us? Has He kept us? He will do it to the end. You see, "Thou shalt not be afraid," verse 5, "for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." Isn't that grace? God's going to keep us and hold us from error? From false doctrine? There are times when I've been able to plead this and God would hold in time of sickness. And I never will forget when I came back south and we drove in here on a Thursday night in December of 78. With all that we had, we unloaded it in our trailer. We left Saturday to go see my wife's father in New Orleans who was sick. And after we got there, I took her to the store. While she was shopping, I said, "You bring the car on home with the groceries back to Dad's and I'll just walk. I need the exercise." As I was walking down Jefferson Avenue there in New Orleans, I saw the doors and the windows of all these houses barred with iron bars. And I said, "Well, I'm back in the city again. Everybody's afraid." You know what came to my mind? In my heart, this song. I didn't need that, because the Lord was my protection. The Lord will uphold and the Lord will keep. We can trust Him. We can put our trust in Him. And if in His providence we are attacked, and in His providence everything we have is stolen from us, doesn't mean this promise is not true. It means that God wants to teach us something He could not teach us otherwise. So He can still be trusted in everything that touches our lives. Verse 8, "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." We should not be envious of the wicked. We should not be envious of what they have. Why? Because what they have is going to go. We see the reward of the wicked. And I don't want my last end to be like theirs. And then I want you to notice verses 9 through 13. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Now, beloved, that's written for our learning. That's written for our understanding. Did you notice what he says? "Because we've made the Lord, which is our refuge, even the Most High, our habitation, we abide in Him, there shall no evil befall us." I don't care what may come into our lives, it is not evil, because it comes from the hand of our God, whatever it is. It cannot be evil, for He cannot do us any wrong. And I never will forget when God gave me that as a prop, as a hold in which I could stand, that my Heavenly Father could do me no wrong. He could only do me good. And whatever came into my life, the world might call it evil, and I might even call it evil, and I might say that it's a plague that shall destroy me. But it's not. "There shall no evil befall thee." God's child cannot fall into evil from His hands, because He does not come with evil. He might allow us to go through suffering and sorrow and temptations. He might allow us to even become bankrupt. He might allow us to not have a thing in this world. But it is not evil. It is good, for all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Look at verse 11. "He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." He didn't know angels had such a part in watching over us. They're messengers of the Lord. He says our angel watches, sees the Father's face. We must have more than one angel. One angel watches the Father's face for us, and the other angel, another angel, or a host of angels, I don't know how many, watch over us day by day and keep us. "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt thread upon the line an adder, the young lion and the dragon shall trample under feet. What does he mean by that? Every problem, everything that comes, God is going to make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. He's not going to put on us any more than we're able to bear. You believe that? I've got to believe it, because I've seen it fulfilled. Then I want you to notice in verses 14, 15, and 16 that there are six things that he says, I will do for you. You ought to mark them. Look at them. Because he said, I will do them. Look at verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, saith the Lord, therefore will I deliver him. Job said, he has delivered me in six troubles, he shall deliver me in seven. I will deliver him. What else will he say he do? I will set him on high because he hath known my name. What does he do? Well, he says in Ephesians 2, and when he saves us by his grace, he accepts us in the beloved. And our life is dead and we're hid with Christ in God. And we're made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I will set him on high. He will cause us to be set where he sets, and there is upon high. And then look at verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Now, beloved, there is no such thing as a child of God not praying. There's never been, never has been, and never will be a child of God who does not pray. He can't help it. He shall call upon me. When a man sees his helplessness and his hopelessness, as we were describing this morning, and he comes to the place where he's utterly lost, and that for time and for eternity apart from the grace of God, and he is ever brought by the grace of God to come to Christ the first time as a helpless soul, he continues to come as a helpless soul, and he will call. God causes us to pray. He'll bring us in conditions to make us pray, whether we want to or not. Look what he said. He shall call upon me. He shall call upon me. A man who doesn't pray is not a child of God. A man who does not call upon God doesn't know him. He shall pray. Whether he's laying down, whether he's kneeling, whether he's sitting down, whether he's walking, whether he's by himself, whether he's on a job, no matter where he is, he's going to pray. And what does he do? He calls upon the name of the Lord. And what happens? He shall call upon me, and I'll answer him. Well, isn't that precious? Isn't that gracious? Isn't that comfort for us? I will answer him. I will not turn him away. I will answer him. Has he answered you today? He's answered me. I will answer him. You know what it says? I will answer him. Therefore we call. Look at the fourth thing. I will be with him in trouble. I don't care what it is, God is with us. I will be with him in trouble. Then I want you to notice the fifth thing. And I will deliver him. You see, we shall call and he shall answer. In our time of trouble, he is with us. And I will deliver him. You know, that word will is stronger than the word shall. He wills and we shall. I will be with him in trouble. And I will deliver him. And what else he does. And I will honor him. How does God honor us? Well, He honors us with His presence. He honors us with letting us understand what He's done for us. I will honor Him. I shake my head and I cry to Him and I said, Lord, I don't understand it, but I do believe it. Why You would want to honor me, I don't know. And why You continue to put up with me, I don't know. But You do. I will deliver him and I will honor him. And I want you to notice verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. As long as we live, he's going to satisfy us and show us his salvation. Now, what does all of this show me tonight? This whole psalm shows me that the God of the Bible can be trusted. That's what it shows me. It shows me that the God of the Bible is long-suffering. He has to be. Patient and long-suffering with us. The God of the Bible is the faithful God. He is our security. He's our stay. Very present help in time of trouble. This chapter shows me the grace of God, that it continues to reign. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And as sin reigned unto death, grace reigns to righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace continues to reign in the hearts and lives of the people of God. And this also shows me the goodness of God, that He should supply all of our needs, and the mercy of God, that He will continue to be compassionate upon us. Remember, in our frame it is dust. And what does it all mean to you? Do you see in there that He can be trusted? Do you see in there the long-suffering of God, the faithfulness of God? Do you see that grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Do you see the goodness of God in all of this that He said He would do for us? Do you see the mercy of God, His compassion continually upon us day by day? Then we ought to go out of here tonight praising Him and thanking Him that He would give us such a word for our souls and such a hope that we can rest in Him amidst all of what comes upon us in our walk down here upon this earth. We ought to be the most thankful and praising people upon the top side of God's green earth. You know that? That's right. We should praise Him. He's done this. He said He would keep us to the end. All right, how are we going to put that into effect? Well, let's close tonight with number 314. That's my song. That's your song. How are we going to do it? We're going to come to Him. We're going to stand and sing number 314. We'll ask Brother John Seitzmer to lead us in prayer as we finish. Number 314 as we stand.